Thank you for downloading Session 2 of the Revival Culture Conference from Elohim Christian Church. This message is brought by Mike Chance.
Yeah. Let's welcome Mike.
Wow. Well, we're going to go ahead and sit down, please. Unless you want to stand up all night. I'm going to. We're going to continue to worship, and tonight, after I share with you the word that I believe God's put on my heart and our hearts for tonight, because we're talking about revival culture. Yeah. And Jesus told a parable about a seed. He told a parable about leaven, and he said, the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like leaven that is in a dough, and it leavens the whole dough. It's a small particle, but when it's done, the whole dough is leavened. And he said, the kingdom of God is like that. So he's talking about something positive. He's talking about the nature of the kingdom of God. If you take just a good bacteria, and you put it in a glass of milk, that milk will become yogurt, okay? And it doesn't matter how big that glass is or that container is, eventually the whole thing will be affected by that bacteria, because it's a living culture. Yeah. And so God is building a culture, a revival culture, that will have an impact. If you look at the book of Acts, they had 120 people in the upper room, but those 120 people were well prepared, and when the 3,000 came in, they came into a culture, and disciples were made much quicker. Jesus spent 3.5 years recruiting, mobilizing, and equipping, empowering his disciples. But when the day of Pentecost came, 3,000 people were swept into the kingdom, and they were swept in, they were brought into a culture that was more effective than 3 years. They didn't have 3 years now. They started moving quickly. So God is building a culture in order so that we can maintain what he's doing. Not maintain in the sense of not going anywhere, but not just having an experience, but having something that is will have a lasting effect on our lives and the lives around us. Kay talked about how when she came to Germany first with her sister and another woman, and we met in Germany a year later and were married a year later. So, but when she came to Germany, she came with these two girls with her. They were very young. Kay was only 21, and she was the oldest, the most mature. They were really young, but they were on fire for God, and they began to pray, and they stumbled really on a breakthrough way of praying. And then when the rest of the team came over a year later, we were kind of taken into that culture, and we began to pray. And then when God brought the students our way, they were brought into that culture, and we were able to affect them. And that's what God is building, is a culture. So that a revival culture, so that people can come in and things happen more quickly. Okay, and this morning or this afternoon, we're talking about the exaltation of Jesus Christ. We're looking at the book of Acts. And one of the key elements in the book of Acts is Jesus seated at the right hand of God and getting that victory perspective and doing things from that, knowing that he is exalted over every authority and power and exercising that authority. I believe that the early church lived in the consciousness. It was more than a doctrine. They lived in the consciousness of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. And they applied it in the very most practical issues of life.
Yes.
So, tonight we want to look at the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is not just something that we experience once, but as we'll look in the book of Acts, God sent the Holy Spirit to empower the church to carry on what Jesus began to do and to teach. Okay? So in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, very familiar passage. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So here, Jesus is telling his disciples, you are going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in a few days. You are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What he's talking about here is not so much the work of the Holy Spirit in us to sanctify us. The Holy Spirit does that too. He works in our lives to change us. But what he's talking about here is the Holy Spirit upon us to empower us for service. Luke, because Luke emphasizes the humanity of Jesus, he also emphasizes two other things really important to humanity. Number one is prayer. He emphasized the prayer life of Jesus. He shows more than any other gospel writer how much Jesus prayed. But the other thing that he emphasizes is the Holy Spirit anointing. Luke is the one that has Jesus quoting Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me because the Lord has anointed me. The anointing is the Spirit of the Lord upon us. So Luke emphasized the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. We have no record of Jesus ever performing a miracle before that. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, we know that he was born by the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God created his perfect humanity. But it wasn't until the Spirit of God came upon him that he was anointed for service and that he went out. The first thing he did, interestingly enough, is went into the wilderness. And it's interesting that Luke records that Jesus went into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, but after the testing, he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good, as Peter says later. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And people asked him, where are you getting this power? And so he had the scroll of Isaiah brought to him, and he read Isaiah, what we call Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to go forth and preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are downtrodden, and to declare the year of Jubilee. Yeah. And here is a very interesting point. When he said this, he closed the book. Because the next verse in Isaiah is, and to announce the year of vengeance of the day of vengeance of our God. You see, because the time of vengeance was not yet, he closed the book. This is the year of Jubilee. And in order to enforce the year of Jubilee was that all the debts were forgiven, all the slaves were set free, and people returned to their original inheritance that they had gotten from God. Because of their debt, they were sold as slaves, and because of their slavery, they lost their land. And now the year of Jubilee has come. And the year of Jubilee was ushered in on the Day of Atonement after 50 years. The Day of Atonement, when the blood of the Lamb was shed, the shofar sounded in the whole land, and it was announced the favorable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. All your debts are canceled, all the slaves are free, and your inheritance is restored. This is what the gospel is. Our sins are forgiven. We are delivered from the power of Satan and sin, and we are restored to our original call. Now, Jesus went about in the power of the Holy Spirit, because Peter says this later in Acts 10:38. He says, you know Jesus of Nazareth, he was a man. See, Luke emphasizes the humanity of Jesus. Jesus is God, 100% God. He is total God, but he is also all man. You can't figure that out with your peanut brain. You just have to lift your hands and say, glory to God. There's some things that just surpass our intellects. But there's a thing called revelation. And we see that Jesus is 100% God, but he's also 100% man. And Luke emphasizes his humanity. He emphasizes the humanity of Jesus, and he emphasizes the humanity of the church. We are still humans. And there is, I think, there is, particularly in the ministry, there is a temptation to try to pretend that we are other than human. Remember the story about Paul and Barnabas going into the city, and somebody is healed, and then all of a sudden people, first of all, people wanted to worship them, and then they wanted to stone them. But when they wanted to worship them because they saw this miracle, Paul jumped in their midst and said, we are also men. Yes. Jesus was a man anointed of God with the Holy Spirit and power, and went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. The reason that Luke emphasizes that is because we see that the Holy Spirit comes upon our humanity. And he empowers us, weak humans, he empowers us to be witnesses. First, in our surroundings, our familiar culture. And then he takes us into another culture, Samaria. And you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to cross cultures. And then he takes us into other areas. And then he takes us to the whole earth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to serve him. And then you have these people waiting on the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait until they are endued with power from on high. And that's exactly what these 120 did. They waited, and the day of Pentecost came. Now, I want to say this, that we don't have to wait anymore. The waiting days are over, because he already sent the Holy Spirit, and he wanted to send the Holy Spirit in this way on the day of Pentecost to fulfill the prophetic word about the feast. So the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and we read about that in Acts 2. Are you there? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. I love that. A sound from heaven. A sound from heaven. Like a blowing of violent wind, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, if you look in chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus said that, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the first time that people are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is Acts 2:4. Yeah. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. But the interesting thing of it is that even though the same people are not baptized in the Spirit again, they are continually filled with the Spirit. Just being baptized in the Spirit is not enough. We need to be filled with the Spirit continually. So you see in Acts chapter 4, are you there? Okay, Acts chapter 4. Now what has happened was that Peter and John were going to the temple. They saw a man that had been lame. They said to him, he was wanting money from them. He said, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. And they walked. And he walked. And he ran around. And it caused quite a scene. And all these key people gathered. And I like the way that Luke tells the story. Peter looks at the crowd and says, what are you marveling at? When I read that, I think, well, you know, Peter, there was a man, he was lame from birth, and you said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, and he not only walked, he jumped and danced and leapt all over the place. I think that might have had something to do with it, okay? So all of these people, and Peter says to them, this didn't happen through our own piety, but it happened because of the name of Jesus and faith in that name. That man was healed. That man stood in front of them in total health. Now this caused quite a problem. Peter and John were taken before the council and were threatened with their lives. They go back to their friends. They call a prayer meeting. They had just gotten threatened, and they go back and they call a prayer meeting, and all of the, it says in chapter 4, verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. I love that. They went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord, against his anointed. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats. I like this. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. And stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now, that blows my mind, because here they are threatened. If you keep on preaching this, we're threatening your life. So they got their friends together. They all lifted up their voice at one time and they said, more, Lord. You heard their threats. Give us more. Give us boldness now to preach your word and stretch out your hand to do many signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, verse 31. After they prayed, where they were meeting, the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wow. See, they weren't just filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Spirit continually. When Peter went before the Sanhedrin again, it says, and Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke out again. They were continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything in the book of Acts that happens, happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's essential that we are continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It's essential that we're not satisfied with an experience that we had at one time, even if it was yesterday. It's essential that we continue moving on in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was never, ever the thought of God that the activity of the Spirit should ever end. But it is the purpose of God that the Holy Spirit continues His activity on this earth through the church until Jesus comes again. Look at Peter, what he preached on the day of Pentecost. This is apostolic preaching. This is the truth of God's word. This is the gospel. He's quoting Joel, but he says in verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel: in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Actually, in the Greek, the NIV for some reason does not like the word flesh, but it says upon all flesh. Because flesh is a term for humanity. It's not a compliment. It means just your bare humanity without any help from God. And the prophet says, upon all flesh, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Because we need the Holy Spirit. Other than, without the Holy Spirit, that's what we are, flesh. And all flesh is like grass. And even their glory is like a flower. And the grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen? So he says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now the last days extend from the resurrection of Jesus Christ until Jesus comes again, until that great and glorious day of the Lord. So we can say we can expect outpourings of the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes. It is God's will to pour out His Spirit continually upon our flesh. And I love the way that God takes in everybody in this promise. You have the sons and the daughters. You have the young men and the old men. You have even the servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. God takes in the whole community. He takes in an entire generation. Young and old, men and women, bond and free, everyone having the same need and desire. We need the Holy Spirit. See this all the way through the book of Acts. You see it in Peter, you see it in Paul, you see the activity of the Holy Spirit. I remember years ago in our Bible school, I just felt like we need to just start praying for people, not waiting for some feeling or anything like that, but just start praying for people and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to increase His activity. I somehow just believe that God put that in my heart to share with you, to just begin to step out and receive and release the Holy Spirit and increase the activity of the Holy Spirit. Because we build a culture, a habitat for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. A house for Him to live in. A place where He is at home and where He can be active.
Yeah. Yeah.
God wants to pour out His Spirit on us. He wants us to receive the new wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
The new wine. We live in wine country in Germany. And they have this thing in the beginning of the harvest of grapes, when they start making the wine, they have this thing called the new sweet wine. And I read an article about this recently, that it's dangerous because it hasn't finished the fermenting process. And so when you drink it, it really doesn't have a strong alcohol taste. But what happens is that the fermenting process continues in your stomach. And it turns into alcohol there. So you get a little bit, you know, and you think, well, that's no... And you're driving home, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, where am I? I think... When I read that, I said, now that is something awesome. Not the wine. But just receiving. See? And not worrying about, did we have a cataclysmic experience, you know? But just receiving from God, and that fermenting process continues in us. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, you're like, whoa,
yeah.
Where am I? What was that? I really believe what I said this afternoon. God wants us to get drunk again. Because the church was born drunk. He wants us to get back to that place of continual filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit upon us. This is, like I said, this is not the same as the Holy Spirit in us sanctifying. It's the same Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit wants to empower us. And it has nothing to do with how holy we are. Holiness, by the way, is a goal in itself. We don't need to be motivated by receiving power to want to be holy. Holiness is a wonderful goal in itself. It is a worthy goal. And so the reason that we want to be holy is because we want to be holy. Not so that we can have more power. We want to be holy so that we have the stability under our feet to carry the anointing. But God anoints us right where we are. And so at the same time, the Holy Spirit is working in us, and the Holy Spirit is upon us, empowering us to serve in this world, to take the gospel of the kingdom and to not only preach it, but to demonstrate it in power. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit so that we preach the word with boldness. That we're not afraid. That we do not let the threats that come upon us, and that will increase in these days. It will not get easier to be a Christian in Christian Britain.
That's right. Yeah.
It is not going to be easier to serve God in Europe. There are threats. What can happen? But God wants us to lift our voices and say, take note of these threats and give your servants boldness to speak your word, to preach it. To preach it just like you said it. We don't have to water it down and try to make it palatable. We preach it like you said it. We don't purposely want to offend anybody, but if we offend somebody, so be it. We want to preach the word with boldness. We went to a Bible school in America, in Dallas, Texas, that was started in the great healing and deliverance revivals in the 40s and 50s. And there was a man, his name was Jack Coe, and he was preaching and pretty fiery, and then somebody put a note on the pulpit, said the mayor, he was preaching in Washington, D.C., and the note said, the mayor of Washington, D.C. is present, take it easy. And he said, I just heard that the mayor of Washington, D.C. is here, and I want to tell you, if you don't repent, you're going to go to hell just like everyone else. I think that's called boldness. It might border on crudeness also, but it's bold. But he was not only bold, God did stretch out his hand to heal through him. And you saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And God wants to do this again. He wants to do it increasing. He doesn't want to just do it somewhere else. He wants to do it right here. He wants to do it in this community. He wants to do it in this region. He wants to do it in this nation. Let's just lift our hands up. Just begin to thank him for the Holy Spirit. You know, we were in Bethel, Kay and I, in May, in Reading. And one thing that they continually said there that really spoke to me, concentrate on what God is doing, not on what God is not doing. Steward what you have. Steward what you have. Steward, take what you have. Take the, if it's a little, steward it. Invest it. Use it. Use it. Just begin to thank him for what you have. Thank him for the measure of the Holy Spirit that you have. And thank you. Thank him that you may have the Holy Spirit without measure. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are in the same category. Same category as the one who said he gives the Spirit without measure. He who speaks the words of God is sent of God, and he gives him the Spirit without measure. Just thank him. Thank him for the measure that you have right now, but thank him that's not all. But you're going to invest what he's given you. You're going to invest what he's given you. You're going to use, steward what you already have. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. You know, one way that we steward what we have, the Holy Spirit inside of us, one way that we steward that is by praying in tongues. Praying in the Spirit. So just begin to pray in the Spirit. Just start stirring that well up inside of you.